Daniel chapter number 17. I have to admit, I had a different message prepared this week. Last night, I got a little sick feeling in my stomach, and I thought, all right, Lord, you don't want me to go this direction, do you? And he has led us to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. And so we're going to look at a familiar story. The messages this morning and this evening will be similar along the same kind of theme, a similar theme. This morning I want to preach a message that I've entitled Get Enlisted. Tonight I want to preach a message that I've entitled Get Committed. Get enlisted this morning, get committed this evening. Obviously tomorrow we celebrate Memorial Day. We remember those who have died for the freedoms that we hold dear. Douglas MacArthur said, however horrible the incidents of war may be, the soldier who is called upon to offer and to give his life for his country is the noblest development of mankind. Someone said a veteran is someone who at one point in his life wrote a blank check made payable to the United States of America for an amount of up to and including my life. President Garfield said, for the love of country, they accepted death. I'm thankful for a day set aside to honor those that gave their life for our freedoms. I ran across the track that a family put together in light of their son's death, who died in military service. He died on December 20th, 1989, during an Operation Just Cause. And just hours before he faced the enemy, he wrote this letter to his parents. Mom and Dad, if you receive this letter, you'll know that I died in combat protecting our country and the freedoms we hold so dear. I want you to know that I do believe in Jesus, my Savior, and I will be in heaven to meet you. I don't blame you for anything I might have done wrong in my life. No one could have asked for better parents and examples to follow. I only wish I would have told you this more often. So I'll say it now. I love you both very much, and Charlene and Lori too, which I assume were the sisters. You all made a very positive influence on my life, even though I might not have let you know. I love you all. Gary, individual who died for freedoms. When I read pamphlets like these, and there are a lot of them, I can't help but be moved with somebody and some bodies that would give a blank check of their life saying, hey, I'm willing up to and including giving my life for my country. We live in a day, by the way, where things in our country are changing. But I want you to think a little bit this morning concerning commitment level. We look at military and those that gave their life for the cause of freedom here in America, and I'm concerned about the commitment level of God's people when it comes to serving God in the United States of America. The songwriter said this, a call for loyal soldiers comes to one and all. Soldiers for the conflict, will you heed the call? Will you answer quickly with a ready cheer? Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? It's the last, the second stanza says this, yes, Jesus calls for soldiers who are filled with power, soldiers who will serve him every day and every hour. He will not forsake you. He is ever near. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? The refrain says this, a volunteer for Jesus, a soldier true. Others have enlisted. Why not you? Jesus is the captain. We will never fear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? Our text this morning is a familiar text, a text that we all know and probably love. And for many in the room here this morning, it might be your favorite text, your favorite Bible story. It's the story of David and Goliath. We know that David was a shepherd boy. He was tending sheep. And the dad came to David and said, David, I want you to take this food to your brothers. I want you to follow along as we highlight some of the scripture here this morning. And I want us to see what is it that caused David to go from a position of shepherd to a position of soldier. What is it that caused him to be enlisted, if you would, in God's army? The Bible says in verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 17, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle. They're gathered together, and the Bible says, verse 3, and the Philistines stood on one mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. They're separated by a valley. They're kind of at a stalemate. The Bible says in verse 4, there comes out a champion by the name of Goliath. Goliath comes out, And Goliath challenges the armies. Look at verse number 8. He stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said, "Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and you your servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me." Here we see them at a stalemate. David shows up, verse number 20. David, his father Jesse, in verse 17 says, "Take this food and go to your brethren and see how they're doing." And the Bible says in verse 20, "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him." We'll look at some of these other scriptures in a minute. I want to call your attention to verse number 32. "And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Lord, I pray this morning that you would take truth, and I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, I thank you for the men and women that serve our country, that serve for the freedoms that we hold dear. Lord, I pray that as Christians, we would recognize the privilege we have to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I ask, Lord, that you would help us to be enlisted. And then, Lord, tonight as we look at your word again, I pray that you would help us to see the importance of being committed. Lord, would you do a work which only you can do? And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. What is it that takes David as a shepherd boy? Here he is, a shepherd boy, and he's tending his sheep, and he gets the call from dad. "David, David, come here." And David comes to the dad, and he says, "Hey, I want you to take this food here to your brothers. They're down the road a little bit, and I want you to take this food to them, and I want you to see how they're doing." And here David, yes, sir, he takes his food to his from his father and takes it to the shepherd. I mean, takes it from the shepherd there to his brothers. And he comes and he sees this battle. He sees this stalemate between the Philistines, the enemies of God, and God's people. And David really goes, as a matter of fact, if you read the end of the story, David really goes from really being a shepherd to not just a soldier. He goes from really leading the attack against the Philistines after he kills Goliath. I want you to see, number one, as we look at David going from a shepherd to a soldier, I want you to see, number one, that David saw the condition. He saw the condition. He shows up and he hears this here giant defying God. Look at verse number 23 of 1 Samuel 17. "And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them." The words we're referring to in verse number 8 and verse number 10. "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give us a man." And David hears these words, "And the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him and were sore afraid." Verse number 24. "And the men of Israel said, have you seen that this man has come up to defy Israel? He's come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." And David, of course, asks, what shall be done to this man that killeth this Philistine? Verse number 28. "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou hither? With whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." It's a challenging day for God's people. The story takes place in a time of national weakness. There's really no leadership. Saul hasn't really been the leader that he needs to be, and so he's not exercising the leadership that he should. This story takes place at a time when the enemies of God sought revenge. They sought revenge against the people of God for the battles and for what the people of God had done. The Philistines, in verse number 1, they came and they were attacking God's people. The story takes place at a time where God's people faced a huge challenge. They were afraid. If you look at the people of God, you'll find the people of God are hunkered down. They're fearful. They're absolutely afraid. Look at verse number 11. The Bible says, "And Saul, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." Goliath came from the family of Anak, who produced giants in the land of Canaan.
In Numbers chapter 14, these giants were seen by the men to spy out the land. Goliath was quite intimidating. He was somewhere between 9 feet to 12 feet. Can you imagine a 9-foot basketball player? He wouldn't have to go too far to dunk. I mean, he was intimidating. His armor was from head to toe. Goliath was literally covered from head to foot. He was like a walking tank. The weight of his armor was between 125 to 150 pounds. Humanly speaking, he was absolutely invincible. Except we know for one little spot. God's people are full of unbelief. King Saul, the one who is supposed to be in charge, is afraid as well. They're full of fear. It was a time of criticism. David shows up to the scene with a pure heart and a pure motive. And Eliab, his eldest brother, makes fun of him and criticizes him. It was a time of, really, Saul said, it can't be done. It was a time of total unbelief. As you look at the story and you read concerning Saul, he's not in faith at all. It was a time, really, when you look at this story and you look at the odds being against God's people, David wasn't experienced at all. David was a shepherd. He tended sheep. Yes, he defended himself, his sheep from the lion and the bear, but David really didn't know all that much about battle. It's a shame that God's people that were trained, it's a shame that the people of God that were trained, that should have been believing God, and the leader of God that should have been believing God, were hunkered down in fear. David shows up on the scene, and David is made aware of the condition. He's made aware of the needs around him, and that causes David to start thinking about, maybe I should enlist. Maybe I should get in this battle. Maybe God could use me to make a difference. When we look at the society in which we live in right now, a lot of God's people are afraid. COVID has put more fear in God's people in my lifetime, really, than anything that I really experienced. 9/11 put fear in God's people as people didn't know what was happening, but that kind of lasted for a little bit and then kind of dissipated and people went back to normal. We live in a society where the people of God are afraid of the people that aren't serving God. We live in a society where the devil is not happy and the enemies of God are rising up. And it can be intimidating. But I tell you this, though God's people were afraid, David was a man of faith. The needs around, as David showed up and looked around, I wondered if he thought, well, I wonder who's going to take this guy. I wonder if David thought, hey, I'm going to roll up my sleeves and I'm going to sit here and watch. I'm going to get a front row seat for somebody to stand up and somebody to be willing to make a difference. God doesn't want us in unbelief. God doesn't want us in fear. And you know what? No matter how challenging the day may get in 2021, God wants us to believe Him. God wants us to be full of faith. God wants us to be enlisted as a soldier of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But you know what? Sometimes our problem is we're too busy focusing on our little world and the little things that we have to do. Jesus told the disciples in the Gospels, He said, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields. Why? Because they're white already to harvest. Jesus basically said to His disciples, you need to look around and you need to see the needs that are all around us. You know, we have a lot of needs here in the people's lives in America. There's a lot of challenges. There's a lot of needs here in the United States of America. And as God's people, we need to wake up. We need to look around. We need to lift up our eyes and look at the fields because they're white already to harvest. David was aware of the need. A man in the service, a man that would enlist in the service, would recognize, hey, there's a need. Someone that would enlist in the service of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords would recognize there's a need. President Reagan said this, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and hand it on for them to do the same, or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. We have a privilege to live in a free country. We have a privilege to own and read multiple Bibles. We have a privilege to take truth and share it with people. We have a privilege to hold events here where we can invite people to come and to hear the message of true freedom. But we're never going to do it unless we really see the needs of people around us. Unless we lift up our eyes and look on the fields for their white to harvest. David saw the condition. I want you to see, secondly, what was it that caused David to get enlisted in the army of the King of Kings? Number two, David, not only did he see the condition, he embraced the cause. He took responsibility. Look at verse 26. Let's just slide down to verse 29. And David said in response to Eliab and others that may have questioned him, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" You see, when David showed up, the name of his God was at stake. You see, David was a shepherd boy, and David had a relationship with God. His relationship with God was important. He had sung hymns and written psalms as he was tending the sheep. He had seen God protect him when a lion came to the sheep and tried to hurt him in a bear. And we'll see this in just a minute. He had a walk with the Lord. He had a relationship with God. By the way, if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, boy, let me encourage you. Jesus died on Calvary's cross for you. You see, heaven's perfect and we're not, and I can't get to heaven and can't have that right relationship with God because I'm a sinner unless I place my faith in Jesus Christ and accept what He's done for me on the cross. Something has to be done with my sin. Jesus came and the songwriter wrote, "Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe." He died on Calvary's cross. The ultimate price for freedom was when He died on Calvary's cross. He died that we might have life and might have it more abundantly. As a 7-year-old boy, I remember coming to grips with the truth about my sin. I didn't want to spend eternity in hell. I wanted to go to heaven. As a 7-year-old boy, I bowed my head and I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. And I haven't been perfect and I never will be perfect. But I do know this, I'm a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I know if I go to Him and I confess my sin, He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. But as many as received Him, I received Him as a 7-year-old boy, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Amen. David had a relationship with God. And he shows up on the scene, and here's this Goliath. Here's this unsaved Goliath, enemies of God, mocking his God. Taking his God and smearing his God across the battlefield. That bothered David. It bothered David because David had a relationship with God. Hey, it wasn't just God's name, God's people. David shows up and he sees the people of God all afraid. He sees the people of God all hunkered down. He sees God's people, the one who were supposed to be serving the God of heaven that could do anything. He sees them hunkered down and afraid. God's people were at stake. The cause was bigger than David. The cause was bigger than David's comforts and than David's conveniences. He looked around and he said, "There's a cause. Hey, there's a cause at stake here. It's God's name. It's God's work." And can I say this, in 2020 in the United States of America, there's still a cause at stake. There's still a cause at stake. The Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the work of God, there's still a cause. There's a cause for you and I to be willing to take a stand and say, "Hey, I'm going to enlist." Hey, David wasn't thinking about his own comforts and his own conveniences. If he would have, he would have said, "Sayonara, I'm going back to my sheep and I'm going to sit in the wilderness there and I'm going to have peace and tranquility." It was beyond David. It was God's cause that motivated him to action. What is it that motivates us to action? What motivates, what does it take for us in the United States of America to get motivated to carry gospel tracts in our pocket and to ask God who we can give them to? What is it causes us to that motivates us to take a stand for the Lord? To say, hey, I'm a Christian and I'm proud of it. To take a stand for the values that are right and truth that's taught in the Word of God. You see, David embraced God's cause. And that's why David ends up enlisting in God's army. Do you know what? It's a privilege for us. It's a privilege for us to be children of King of Kings. We bear his name. When you trusted Christ as Savior, you became a Christian. I hope you've trusted Christ as Savior. You became a Christian. You bear the name of Jesus Christ wherever we go. Amen. We ought to be proud to be a Christian. I was reading stories this weekend of people in the past and how they suffered for America. I know many of you are familiar with Jessica Lynch. She was taken captive in 2003. She was taken as a prisoner. March 23rd, taken her unit, the 507th Maintenance Company, Fort Bliss, Texas, was ambushed. A military report on the ambush said Lynch was injured when the Humvee in which she was riding was hit with a rocket-propelled grenade and crashed at high speed in the rear of an Army tractor trailer. 11 soldiers died in the attack, including 4 from Lynch's vehicle. 5 others were taken prisoner. She was taken to a hospital, treated by Iraqi doctors. Before that, she was raped. Lynch suffered 3 breaks in her left leg, multiple breaks in her right foot, fractured disc in her back, a broken right upper arm, and lacerations on her head. And to make a long story short, she said a number of things, speaking from her wheelchair, but she said this: I am proud to be a soldier in the Army, said Lynch, sitting in front of a large American flag. I am proud to have served with the 507th Infantry. I could give more details, but I'll tell you, there's somebody that said, you know what, I've suffered. She didn't get killed, thankfully. Others did. But she was willing. Why? Because a cause greater than herself. And when she came back, she didn't say, hey, I regret. She said, no, I'm proud to be an American. Can I ask you this question this morning? Are you proud? By the way, you ought to be proud to be an American. Are you proud to be a Christian? You know, sometimes you say, oh, they slammed the door in my face, and we want to quit. Hey, I'm afraid to talk to my family member because my family member might not talk to me. They'll talk to you. Blood's thicker than water. They might get mad at you for a few weeks, but then they'll need to borrow $100, and you'll be there with $100, and they'll be back. Yeah? They'll go through some kind of difficulty, and they'll know that you pray and you have a relationship with God, and they'll call you up and say, hey, can you pray for me? It'll be all right. You shower them with kindness. It'll be all right. But we're so fearful. We're so fearful in a free land to serve the Lord. We look at other nations. I get a report every Sunday from a friend of mine who lives in Georgia, basically updating. I told him I want good news and bad news. I don't just want all the bad news. And sometimes he'll give me the statistics on how many Christians were killed in other countries across the globe. Yeah, I don't see too many statistics on Christians being killed for their faith here in America. You know, you think about the underground church, and you think about the cause for which Christians are living. Unfortunately, sometimes, folks, we're not living for the cause of Jesus Christ. Though we say, I want to live for the cause of Jesus Christ. David showed up, and David was bothered. What bothers you? What causes you to be a little agitated in your spirit? Well, this guy cut in front of me, and they got the biggest piece of pie at lunch. How about this? There are people that are dying and going to hell. I haven't seen anybody saved in a while. They that sow in tears. When's the last time we shed a tear over a soul that was going to hell? You see, we shed tears over the lost. We shed tears over the needs in other people's lives. when we're living with His cause. You see, when we recognize that it's the cause of God at stake. I want you to see number three in closing. As we look at this familiar story, David saw the condition. He embraced the cause. But it went beyond that. He made a choice. He made a choice. We read in verse number 30, and he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Of course, Saul tries to talk him out of it. But David says, hey, I had a lion, verse number 36, and a bear, and God's going to deliver me. Verse number 37, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he'll deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Number three, David made a choice. Oh, it's one thing to show up and to see the need. Yeah, wow, this is pretty big need here. Man, those guys are scared, and that guy's big, and those guys look kind of tough. And wow, I see the need. That need began to work in his heart. He recognized, hey, this isn't just the good guys against the bad guys. This is the bad guys against the God that I love. This is the bad guys against the God that I serve. There's a cause at stake. That cause motivated David to say this. You know what? Nobody else is getting up. Saul's not getting up. He should be the leader. He should get up. He's not getting up. My brothers aren't getting up. They're not doing anything. Maybe he knew some of the military. That guy over there, he's got some talents and he's trained militarily. He ain't getting up. Nobody's getting up. So David said, here am I, Lord. Send me. He said to Saul, hey, I'm willing. The guy had 5 stones, a little sling. Saul says, hey, man, all right, tell you what, if you're willing, let me give you my armor. I'm going to put this on you. And all weighed down. Can't do that. That's not me, David says. I'm going to go and I'm going to do my part. I'm going to do my part to make a difference. He made a choice to do his part, and I'm going to get involved. And you know the story. God uses David. A little sling hits right there, and a little stone hits right there, and a little spot where there was an opening there. And the Bible says, look at verse 48. It came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand, verse 49 of 1 Samuel 17, in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. He didn't have a sword. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took up his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines. And they tell you where they went to. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem and put his armor into the tent. What a story. Can I say this? David wasn't, from what we can tell, he was probably a latter teen, 17. Not too much experience with life, really, compared to all these others that had been serving the Lord, we might say. These others in Israel that had maybe heard and seen God do other things, that had more experience. It took a young person to say, I'm willing. I'm making the choice. I want God to use me to make a difference. When we look at this story humanly, of course, it's hard for us to look at this story outside of what we know, but imagine being there. I mean, imagine being Eliab. He's on the scene. Maybe he got his spear and his sword, and he's all ready, and he sees David. David comes up without any kind of armor. He's got his little clothes on, whatever he got, little shepherd clothes. And he's thinking, my brother's nuts. My brother's crazy. I mean, the odds were against David, but David did not let that affect him. You might look at your sphere of influence, and you might think today, the odds are against me. By the way, it might look like the bad guys are winning. But you read the last chapter of the book, Revelation, and you'll see that God wins. God wins. You're on the winning side. David was convinced that God was going to deliver him. He was convinced that God could use him, little old shepherd boy David, to make a difference in the nation of Israel. And God did. And do you know why sometimes we don't make the difference in our sphere of influence? It's because we don't believe that we can. And it's not us, but it's the Christ that lives in us. Do we not serve the same God that David served? Is God's power still the same as it always has been? Is God's desire to see people saved and to see people revived and to see people walking with God any less than it always has been? God desires to do the same thing. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then what? Then God says, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. I'll heal their land. God desires to do a great work in 2021. Amen. We're not facing Goliath of Gath, but we're facing Goliaths in our little world in which we live in. And we need to stop hunkering down. We need to stop living in fear. We need to stop allowing the devil to intimidate us. We are on the victory side, and the same God that delivered David is the same God that will deliver you and will deliver me. We've got to be hungry to see God to use us to make a difference. Hey, if you want to see people saved, the Bible says you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. Do you know what? I believe with all my heart that God can use everyone in this auditorium here to see someone saved this year. The problem's not with God. The problem's with God's people. We're hunkered down in fear. We're holding on till Jesus comes again. Jesus said, watch and pray and be faithful, serving him until he comes again. David enlisted in God's army. There's another song in our hymn book, page number 406. A soldier in the army of the King of Kings am I. We started off, will you be a volunteer? This song says, a soldier in the army of the King of Kings am I. He called me to his colors, and for him I'll live or die. Wait a minute. We sing that. Wait a minute. I'll live or die? I kind of get frustrated when, you know, people yell at me for passing out tracts, and I get fearful. I'll live or die. Who are we living for? I'll go where'er he bids me, and I'll do his least command. Beneath the banner of the cross, I'll gladly take my stand. I'm a soldier in the army. The battle fierce is raging over land and over sea. Wherever men have borne the news of Christ and Calvary, the fight for souls must not be lost. I cannot falter, no. But in the strength of Christ my Lord, I'll only forward go. Last stanza reads this: someday the battle will be over, victory will come. I wonder if I'll share the full reward awaiting some. Will I have the battle scars to show in heaven when we meet? How many crowns and trophies will I cast at Jesus' feet? We learn a lot from soldiers that are willing to fight for the freedoms we have in America. We learn a lot about dedication and commitment, and we ought to be appreciative. I could chase a little rabbit here, but I won't. But it bugs me when people won't stand for the national anthem and when people burn flags and when people, they ought to go somewhere else. But as God's people, we can learn a lot from the dedication for people that are dedicated to the freedoms in America. How dedicated, how committed are we to the cause of Christ in our nation? David became committed because he saw the need and he recognized the cause that was at stake. And he said, I'm willing to do my part. Did David know that he was all that was going to happen? No, he didn't know any of it. But he was willing to take the next step. Are you? Lord, we love you today. Lord, we thank you.